Now we want to turn to a story closer to home. More than 5,300 people died in Mexico last year in killings reportedly tied to conflict between the drug cartels. Rival gangs, law enforcement officials, journalists, as well as innocent bystanders have all been targets. But now officials in the towns along the U.S. side of the border fear that their cities are becoming collateral damage. Hospitals that have been tapped to treat victims of the gun violence now have to pay for extra security, and some law enforcement officials worry that increasingly brazen killers will cross the border to hunt down their targets. Joining us now to talk about how his town of El Paso, Texas, has been affected by the violence is Beto O'Rourke. He serves on the City Council of El Paso. Welcome. Thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thanks for having me on your show.
Now, the district you represent, District 8, borders with Ciudad Juarez, which has been very much in the news for the violence that the citizens have been experiencing there. But tell me a little bit, if you would, about the relationship El Paso and Juarez had in the past before this whole situation got so bad.
Well, we're one of the largest, if not the largest, binational communities in the world. Juarez has over 1.5 million people. El Paso's got another 700,000. And southern New Mexico, which we also border, has another 500,000 in that larger area. So it's a really large population that shares culture, shares languages. Many, if not most, people in this region are bilingual, speaking both English and Spanish. And it's a very tight, close-knit community. If you were to go to Google Maps, for example, and look at an aerial of Ciudad Juarez and El Paso, you really wouldn't know that they're two separate cities. They're really only divided by a political boundary and the Rio Grande River, which is really at a trickle right now and is not much of a river. So this violence that we've seen in Juarez over the last year has really affected and traumatized this shared community of Ciudad Juarez and El Paso.
Well, of course, as I understand, a lot of people have relatives on either side. Some people may live in one city and work in the other city and cross back and forth all the time. So how has the violence affected those relationships? I mean, I was reading an article, for example, in the local paper where one of the columnists was saying that a lot of people are not allowing their children to visit relatives in Juarez. They're saying, look, if you want to visit, you got to come over on our side.
You know, I think the number is somewhere around 200,000 bridge crossings going either into the United States from Mexico, Juarez to El Paso, or from El Paso to Juarez each day. And so, yes, it's families visiting relatives on either side. It's maquila managers who live in the United States who work in Mexico. It's people from Juarez who live there coming to work in El Paso. And it's people who just come to either side to go out to eat or enjoy things that are on one side of the border and not available on the other. And that's significantly changed. I think people who have the discretion not to travel into Juarez are using that. Some who work there and have to do that are forced to do that, but then don't spend a lot of time there. And then there are those who from Juarez who can afford to are choosing to move to El Paso or have their families live here. So it's significantly altering the way that our community used to enjoy this freedom of movement and just this understanding that we're really one large community only separated by this river and a political boundary.
But how has El Paso been negatively affected by this? It seems to me that the brunt of the suffering is clearly on the Mexican side, on the Juarez side. So how is El Paso suffering?
Well, first and foremost, we are one community. So what happens to Juarez hurts El Paso. And frankly, if it were not for Ciudad Juarez, El Paso really would not exist. About $2 billion gets spent by Mexican nationals in our local economy each year. That's certainly suffering. But probably the most significant cost is in human lives. 1,600 killed in Ciudad Juarez in 2008 related to this drug violence. Certainly drug operatives are in that number, but many innocent victims, including children, are in that number. It's been reported that there have been at least 6 kidnappings here in El Paso, Texas, people abducted and taken back over the border. Again, we assume that those are people involved in the drug trade, but we really don't know. But it's related to the drug violence. There's just this high level of anxiety and worry and, frankly, a feeling of loss of control. The civil authorities are really no longer in control of operations in Ciudad Juarez. These drug cartels are killing and there's no accountability. There's no justice. A very small percentage, something like 2 to 3% of these murders are ever solved. And so We're really at a point right now where we've reached such a level of crisis and such a level of killing and bloodshed that, frankly, this region hasn't seen since the Mexican Revolution, that we're demanding something different from our federal governments, from Washington, D.C., and from Mexico City, because the status quo, this drug war that focuses really only on interdiction and enforcement and imprisonment, just is not working. In fact, it's further enriching and empowering these drug lords who are now able to act with impunity in Ciudad Juarez and are deeply negatively affecting our shared border community.
In fact, on Tuesday, you put forward a resolution that asked the U.S. government to start, quote, an open, honest national dialogue on ending the prohibition of narcotics. Now, this resolution was unanimously approved by the City Council of El Paso, but it was vetoed by Mayor John Cook a couple of hours later. Why did you feel this was the right step to take at this time?
You know, it's not an issue that I was particularly interested in before the amazing amount of violence that we saw in Ciudad Juarez this last year. And, you know, I didn't feel like we could sit idly by and simply express our support for Ciudad Juarez and our sympathy for that city without putting forward some kind of solid recommendation that might change the equation, because we've been prosecuting this failed drug war for 40 years, and we've only made these drug cartels stronger to the point that they frankly they are the powers in Ciudad Juarez. The civil government no longer controls the streets. And so you have a failed city right here on our southern border. By extension, if this continues throughout Mexico, you have the very real possibility of a failed state on our southern border. And we need better leadership from Washington, D.C., and all options need to be on the table. We're not saying that the ending of prohibition is the way to go, but no one at a national level is really seriously talking about it now.
But is your argument mainly just, and I take your point, that there are strong and close relationships between both individuals and entities on both sides of the border, but is your argument mainly on a kind of a moral, ethical level, or is there actually a real impact on the citizens of El Paso on your side of the border that you can point to as a reason to justify this very significant change in U.S. policy at this time? I mean, I guess, are you mainly making a moral argument that you cannot ignore the suffering of this many people this close to the U.S. border, or are there people on your side of the border that you say are specifically affected by this, and that is why the policy has to change?
I think the moral argument is the strongest one, and the loss of lives are very important to take into consideration. But even if you looked at the numbers and you looked at the declining retail sales on our side of the border, or you look at the cost to operate our public hospital that's treating many of the victims of this drug violence in Juarez. You mentioned in your intro the stepped up security and the treatment of these victims. That costs U.S. taxpayers money to support. And frankly, if things continue in Juarez and they continue to happen status quo in Mexico, the immigration problems that we have today and the nature of our relationship with Mexico that we have today is going to change significantly, and it will be for the worse. And so it really is a national security issue that our leaders in Washington need to take very seriously.
But it is a little incurious, though, isn't it, that the fact is that Ciudad Juarez is considered one of the most dangerous cities in Mexico, and El Paso is still considered one of the safest cities in the United States. Do you find that odd, or you just feel that it's just not it is not possible that you can have that level of violence so close by and have it not spill over at some point?
We've got an excellent police force here in El Paso, a great sheriff's department, but we also have thousands of federal United States federal operatives, DEA, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, Border Patrol. You know, every subdepartment of Homeland Security has a very significant presence here on the border. And I think that helps deter the kind of violence that you're seeing in Ciudad Juarez. But many people feel that it really is only a matter of time, should we continue status quo, before that violence spills over to El Paso. And as I said earlier, there is a certain level of anxiety that exists even on the U.S. side of the border that wasn't here before. And that's very real and having a real effect on people that I represent in District 8 in the city of El Paso.
And very briefly, if I would, forgive me for pushing on this point, we're almost out of time. Many other people have talked about this, decriminalizing narcotics at some point. It has been considered, along with, you know, Social Security and Medicare, the third rail of American politics, really a non-starter. Do you really think that this country is ready to consider such a step, which would be a very great departure from current policy?
The city council that I sit on never unanimously agrees on anything. And for us to deliver an 8-0 decision in support of at least talking about decriminalizing illegal drugs in the United States is incredibly significant. And it's only because this drug violence is having such an incredibly negative effect on our community. And we think it has a possibility to spill over into the United States and cause some serious problems there. The current drug war is not working.
All right,
we need to change the policy.
All right. We have to leave it there. Thank you. Beto O'Rourke is a city representative for El Paso, Texas, a city representative. He represents District 8. He was kind enough to join us from El Paso. Thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.